Hey, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Allegedly with me, Matt Weiss.
And I'm Theo Vaughn.
And today we have a girl that is one of the funniest girls I know. And I've known her for many years now.
Oh.
Star of Another Period on Comedy Central, which returns on January 23rd. Creator, actress, Miss Ricky Lindholm.
Hi, guys.
Oh, thank you.
How long have I known you? 12 years?
Probably.
Longer than that. Probably.
I've been in LA for like 15, and so probably like about that, maybe 12 to 15.
And where did you guys meet each other?
Through a mutual friend.
Yeah, we just had like similar friend crews. And
yeah, and then I like...
And it was before we were like workaholics, and so we would actually socialize with people and meet new people.
This was before Ricky blew up. It is also part of Garfunkel and Oates, which
I remember.
This great comedy duo. And she also starred in, and one of my favorite role that I've ever seen her in is as the woman who sprays down Angelina Jolie in The Changeling.
Changeling. Yeah, that was fun. That was, I did not know I would be doing that. I got
spraying to spraying that girl down?
Yeah, it was my first day, and I got to set, and Clint Eastwood's like, okay, so, you know, you're going to come in here, and you're going to hose her off and do a body cavity search, and I was like, all right. Okay, and it was, you know, super close set, and it was, you
bend
know.
Over, Angie.
But the thing with Clint Eastwood is he only does one take, so it's just easy, so, like, it's just quick.
Really?
But
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he only does one take for
well,
the
most
part.
Well, he doesn't have much time, right?
You can, what, because he's dying?
Well, no, he's a little older.
Oh.
Got to get those takes in.
Yeah, that's true, I guess.
But it's just, like, a really easy, awesome vibe, and it didn't feel crazy.
I'm kind
of
obsessed.
Even though I was in a room naked with Angelina Jolie naked, it didn't feel crazy. It just felt like a scene.
And
which is,
Were you, did you feel, did you like look at her private parts, you feel like?
You know what's funny is I didn't want to be like disrespectful. So actually, oh my gosh, we did two takes because the first time I just like looked at her stomach because it was too close.
You found like a focal point?
Yeah. And then Clint was like, I can tell you're not looking. We have to do it. Yeah, just go back. And I was like, okay. So yeah,
wow.
I did have to look.
You had to look right into it?
Not into it, but in the general direction of
right
it.
Right on
yes.
the top of it, what'd you see?
You know, exactly what you'd expect.
It's it not like
a,
tea leaves.
It was a human woman.
No, like the future, though. I mean, what did you see? Did you
like
see the past?
A crystal ball?
Well, yeah, no, I saw a beautiful human woman. You're a great actress.
I'm kind of obsessed with Clint's son, Scott Eastwood, so much so that he's blocked me from on Twitter.
Okay.
Why are you obsessed with him?
Oh, he's gorgeous. I met him once, and he was nice, but... Oh, he's just everything.
Really?
He is maybe the definition of the most prettiest man.
You just
to
said
me.
That about another guy a few minutes ago. Who is he talking about,
well,
Anthony?
It depends on what minute
Gus
we're
Kenworthy.
In.
Gus
Kenworthy. Yeah, Gus Kenworthy. So.
Oh, yeah, he's
Who's
pretty
Gus
gorgeous,
Kenworthy?
Too.
Yeah, that's what I said. In 4 minutes, the guy's had two.
Oh, I'm kind of obsessed with this new kid from Call Me By Your Name.
Call Me By Your Name High School? What? Like young guys.
No, but he plays a 17-year-old, but he's 21.
Sure.
It's Armie Hammer's. So Armie Hammer's new movie, it's a gay love story, very European. I used to love Armie Hammer, and I still do, but then I see the 21-year-old, and I'm like, oh, maybe I like the 21-year-old. Anyway,
He was also in Lady Bird, right?
Yes,
yeah,
he's also in Lady Bird.
Yeah, he's really good in that.
I tweeted him today to see if he would want to come on the show.
Oh, there sweet you of go. You.
Yeah, it's just two more steps, and then I'll get the Scott Eastwood block. That's what we call it. So fuck Scott Eastwood. Anyway, so
so Ricky, as you like obviously the holidays are here. So do you like what do you do? Do you do Christmas in LA? Have you always done that? Do you have like a tradition that started? I notice a lot of people here have traditions that start over the years.
Well, I usually go home to see my family. They used to live in Buffalo, but now they live in Florida, so it's so much easier to go home. So I'm going to Florida and doing that. A couple times I've had to stay here because I was writing. It was like when I was knee deep in show running, I had to like skip Christmas and just stay here and write. I had to do that twice. But this year, I'm not doing anything. So
I mean, I knew her before she was showrunning, like writing, top headlining concerts with your
crazy
band. It's fantastic.
That's awesome.
I met you when I was doing Garfunkel and Oates because we had our half hours at the same time.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
In where?
Boston.
Boston.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Comedy
I didn't
Central.
Like the crowd though. Did you like them? Was it okay for you?
Yeah.
You did?
Our crowd was good. We had a different crowd though than you.
Ours got pushed so late. It was like 3 hours late, and we were.
What do you mean? Oh, when you recorded your specials?
Yeah.
Oh.
But it was a cool venue, I thought.
Yeah, the venue was cool. They do Comedy Central picks like 12 people or 10 people, whatever, and then you do a half hour
and it does
comedy
it,
specials.
And you record them all at once?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, over like a couple day period kind of. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was fun there.
It was, and it's so short because it's actually 21 minutes. A half hour on Comedy Central is 21 minutes. And so it's pretty tight. So it's actually 20 minutes with credits.
So Theo, you know I have a lot of problems, right?
Yeah.
And I've been in therapy for...
How many years, honestly?
18 years?
Dude, at some point it's you. It's just you, dude.
It's definitely me, but whatever's going to help.
You're right.
And so I am in therapy now, but I also started something else. It's this awesome online therapy thing that is new called Talkspace.
Yeah, I've heard of it, man. I've heard of it, and I'm certainly curious about it. I think it's one of those. It's one of the new online apps, sites that has me most curious right now.
It's what they do is they bring therapy. Anybody can use it, and they make therapy accessible to everybody because it's affordable, it's confidential, it's very convenient, it's licensed too, so it's like a legit sort of thing.
Yeah, and I mean, if we're talking, you can have a regular communication about business on FaceTime, then why couldn't you do it about therapy? And sometimes you need therapy when you want it.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and that's one of the biggest things. Like my meeting is Monday at 1 p.m.
Well, mine is every 15 minutes I try to call someone else. They're like, please stop using our site. But it's really cool because you text audio, video message with your therapist as much as you want.
Your Talkspace therapist can listen to you vent about work or family, you know, explore your relationship issues, and just help put you on the path to a happier life when you want it.
And what I really like is they make it easy to connect with a therapist who's just for you.
Right.
Like they pick the right therapist for you.
Oh, really?
So it's not like, I mean, trust me, I can't tell you how many hours I've spent with shitty therapists over that just wasn't a match for me, you know?
Yeah.
Because I've seen more therapists. I've had more therapists than I have had relationships.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it definitely seems like that.
but
to sign up or to learn more, go to talkspace.com/allegedly. And as our special offer for our listeners, you can use our coupon code allegedly to get $30 off your first month and show your support for this podcast.
Yeah, that's a big thing. We love you guys supporting our podcast. It means so much to us, but this is also something that I really believe in. And I think that everybody should have access to therapy because it has changed my life.
I agree with that 100%. So try it. You know, if you're having a tough time, try it, get a month, try it, save $30, use allegedly at talkspace.com/allegedly. It's therapy for how we live today.
And now you got a show on Comedy Central.
Yes, I do. I love them.
People love this show. It's hysterical.
Yeah.
Someone described it or whatever as a mix of the Kardashians and Downton Abbey.
I was probably the person that described it that way. That's how we pitched it.
Is that what was
yeah,
that the pitch?
Yeah, we were
for
like,
real?
If the Kardashians moved into Downton Abbey, that was the pitch.
It's where did that come from?
Over alcohol.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, just a glass of wine.
And do you like...
Want
like,
a glass?
With the new... With the new season, like what are things that people can look forward to? Anything different?
This season, Frederick's trying to be president. My brother, played by Jason Ritter, is running for president, and he's sort of a Trumpian kind of figure. Mm. He's like Trump meets Forrest Gump, kind of just accidentally.
Oh, it's hilarious.
You know, falling upwards.
We love Jason. Jason's been in here.
He's such a nice guy.
He's the best.
I love him. This is the year of Jason.
Is it?
His show's doing great, and then he's on that National Geographic show.
Yeah, he's on. He's on the. It's like a. What's the show on? It's a network show, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it's on.
Kevin
probably saves the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, who wouldn't want to hire him? He's so good.
He's so sweet.
Yeah. Okay. And he's so fun to work with. He's so good at playing dumb. We play the two dumbest characters in the house, and it's really fun to just be like idiots together.
What do you have to do to play dumb, Ricky?
Not much. I already have. No, I have a high voice.
Do you literally have to get into a different mindset though? Of just like
a little bit.
I can't think.
A little
of these
like
thoughts.
Well, I'm focusing on remembering my lines. So
true.
No, yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I don't know. It's not that much of an adjustment.
That's bullshit. You're a smart girl.
No, as far as playing the character, well, I'm given dumb lines, so there's that.
Yes.
Yeah.
What genre of acting is? Do you feel like for you is a tough adjustment or one that you can't even do? I mean, some people can't do
comedy.
Some things,
people
right?
can't do comedy. Some
is there something where you're like, oh, this is
porn? A lot of people can't do that.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'd be good at hosting. Yeah. Does that count? I've done drama and comedy. I don't know. And I've done horror movie. So I've done, I don't know what the other genres
sci-fi
are.
Sci-fi stuff for sure.
I'd love to do that. I don't think I've ever done sci-fi. Really? I am born to play an alien.
Like, I don't think alien, people, like an attractive
people on
alien.
Tell me, well, thank you. People on Twitter alien. Tell me I look like an alien. So I'm like, okay, well, let's capitalize on this. I would love
but
to.
But have they seen real aliens? That's what would be my question for them.
That's the truth. Yeah, I should write back. You've never seen an alien. Yeah. So you don't, show me you your don't alien. Know. Yeah, I might.
What
you
do you
might.
Say to people when they say that?
Oh, nothing. Okay. I do. I have like a remarkably thick skin.
Yeah?
Yeah. I'm like, mm.
What do you, what does that do to? What do you think?
I don't know. I really don't know. I just, it doesn't sit on me for some reason.
It's good. I mean, this is a tough industry to be in.
Yeah. I mean, so maybe that's it. Maybe it's acting for 15 years and just like that constant rejection where, yeah, it can't sit on you.
Yeah.
Or you'll,
yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Or you'll move, I guess.
Yeah.
Hey, Theo.
Hey, what's up?
I know you saw Murder on the Orient Express and really loved it.
Actually, I would rather ride on Amtrak and watch a real crime happen. Way more exciting.
That's an example of another Hollywood remake where they just throw big stars into it. Mm-hmm. And there's got to be a better way.
Yeah, well, there is a better way. There's a better way to get better entertainment on the big screen, on the silver screen, and that is called Live Tree. Because you have to wonder, how many times can Hollywood make a remake? How many sequels can be milked out of our favorite franchises? Well, Live Tree is changing all of that. It's changing the entertainment industry by creating a new platform called ADEPT.
Ooh, stands for, let me guess, Advanced Decentralized Entertainment Platform for Transparent Distribution?
How did you know?
I just know things like that. It is set to disrupt the $500 billion entertainment industry's entire value chain and gamify the process of watching content.
Yep, it's changing everything. And
how?
Basically, I'll tell you.
Please.
The public will now be able to fund what they want to watch, own what they help produce, decide who's in it, and what goes on through the processes of content creation, funding, and distribution.
Oh, my God. I'm going to put Bette Midler in every movie.
Oh, my
every
God.
Every movie ever no. made. No?
No, no. No, dude, you know what I want to see?
Huh.
Ooh, I want to see Steve Buscemi in Bridges of Madison County.
So you're going to write like a Bridges of Madison County,
mm-hmm.
and with the help of LiveTree, you could, if you want Steve Buscemi in it,
yep,
you can back Steve Buscemi in it. And you know what? It might be fantastic.
Yeah, dude, imagine Marlon Wayans in The Martian. Where's all the Martians at? I think it would be hilarious. But that's what LiveTree is. LiveTree is the opportunity for you to control what content ends up on the silver screen by investing and having a share in what goes on. It's basically as if, like, say the movie industry became a fantasy football league where you were a general manager and you were a coach and you got to have a say in who ended up on the field. You can go to LiveTree.com right now and find out everything about it. Invest, get involved. And this
see
is
projects
their,
that you like.
Yep.
You know, put your own projects up.
Yeah. Shoot, vote your kid into something. You know? You got a chubby kid with cute cheeks. He could be the next Gandhi.
Oh, okay.
You know? Is that right?
Yeah, sure.
I don't even know. But go to LiveTree.com. Check it out. Get involved. It's as if, like, say if somebody said you could get involved in the early Netflix.
Yeah.
This could be it. This is the changing the industry.
This has proven that I have a chance.
You
I'm
do?
Happy about that.
Vote Matt as director.
Yeah. I'll direct anything. Porn. Whatever.
Watch it, guy.
Okay. LiveTree.com.
Trying to not watch porn.
Okay, sorry. So I also read that this season addresses opioid addiction.
Does it?
Oh. Sure. We'll go with it.
Were there yoids back then?
There was opium.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was like definite opium and there was I don't know. I don't remember. What's the name of the there was like arsenic that people would inject themselves with, like a little
the
bit.
The poison?
Yeah, but if you inject a little it makes you paler. Because paler was more beautiful back then, and your veins showing was the most beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
Because then you've never been in the sun.
I like you know? That.
Wow, just, times have changed.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
That's very Finnish.
Yeah, it really is.
Wow, okay. So, all right. And
I would have been so
said,
hot back then, you can see all my veins. I'm telling you, you can see, like, I'm like green.
Do you have a favorite vein or a favorite like, artery or anything? That you can actually see?
Well, when I smile, you can see the vein in my forehead.
Oh, that's cool. They say it's a sign of good luck, actually.
Is it?
Yeah.
All right.
That's cool.
Good things are going to start happening.
I think good things are happening. What's going on with Garfunkel and Oates? Because I go to the website.
You do?
I did.
Oh, nice.
Today.
Oh, nice.
It needs a little update.
Does it?
I think so. Oh, it hasn't been updated in a little bit.
My bad.
What's going on?
But both of you guys have been so busy, though, doing other stuff.
Yeah, for
that's
sure.
That's the thing. Kate's been doing movies, and I've been doing the show. And so we're actually writing, we're trying to write a musical right now. So we'll see if that ends up actually coming to fruition. But we're trying. I don't know. I'm a big Broadway musical fan.
Me too.
Are you, Thea?
I like Newsies. That's what I like.
Yeah.
That's about it. No, you like Annie.
I love Annie. I like Annie.
I love Annie.
I like Annie. I thought the Black Annie movie was a reach, but I like Annie overall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like the first one better. There are elements that are a little dicey in the first one upon a rewatch. There's like a couple very racist elements that are shocking if you rewatch
it. Really?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
There's a character called the Asp, an Asian man who has no lines, who every time he comes on screen, he's like doing karate and there's like Japanese music playing. I swear, it's mind blowing. You're like, I can't believe that didn't seem weird when I was a child. I didn't know. You know, I saw it when I was six and didn't sit on me. And now you watch it and you're like horrified.
So wait, so you're writing a musical.
Yes.
That does not seem easy.
No, it's not. Like, it's fun though.
Yeah. I mean, what do you have to do for that? Do you like think of a, I'm not going to ask what the plot is or anything, but do you think of a overall plot and then you just try to punch in songs?
That's essentially the idea. Yeah. But we are in such a trial and error phase that it's, you know, we've just never done it before. And, you know, we're lucky to know some people who've done it. So we took them out for breakfast and asked them advice. And,
oh, nice.
You know, that kind of stuff. But we're just experimenting at this
point. Would you act in it?
No, no. Sadly, yeah, neither of us have that strong of a voice. I mean, we have comedy club voices, I would say.
Yeah, you guys perform your songs together.
Yeah, but
hold up on a Broadway stage?
Oh, gosh, no. Yeah, no, I do not have a Broadway voice, sadly. I wish.
Yeah, it'd be beautiful. I mean, it's nice to have. You see people that can sing? I can't, you know. You see people that can really sing?
People
belt
can,
it out?
Yeah.
Some guys, even ladies, even they belch and it sounds good.
Mm-hmm. And they do it 8 times a week. And
that's a lot. That's a lot of work. Theo, I remember.
Imagine singing that much?
Nope.
I can't even imagine singing that much.
If that's all you had to do, fuck, and get paid tons of money. Well, not Broadway, but fuck,
but you have
I'd
to live
it.
Like a monk. You can't go to bars.
That's true.
You can't go anywhere loud.
Here's a question I was thinking the other day.
Why?
Because you lose your voice. If you go to a bar is the worst thing for your voice. It's worse than singing in a show because you're shouting the whole time.
And you don't realize it.
Yeah. Yeah, those people live like monks. They're just like drinking tea.
Those poor Broadway folk.
I know.
Wow.
I feel bad for them. So I was thinking about this the other day. If you could either be the top rock star in the world or the top movie star or the top athlete, which would you pick?
Top athlete.
Really? Why?
Really?
Yeah. I just think it would be awesome. Because then you get to play like a game all the time.
That's true.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's my last choice.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah?
I would be like, do I have to be a top athlete? Like, I don't even know what sport.
Yeah, you have to work out a lot, I guess. That'd be a pain in the butt.
Oh, that's true. A lot of working out.
You've
got to deal with the other
out.
People.
Yeah, those are called the teammates.
Yeah. I'm sure some of them are douches. And I don't want to be around them.
What would yours be?
I think rock star. I was going to say movie star. But when I was thinking about it, it felt very lonely. Whereas rock star, you're always around people.
That's
but then
true.
You could be also very lonely in that sense, too.
But if you're a movie star, you can have your team. You can have your hair person.
Yeah, but then it's just yes men everywhere.
Right. You could have your employee friends.
That's true.
Yeah.
What would you pick?
Movie star.
Mm-hmm. Really?
For that, what
between movie star, rock star, and athlete?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Because that one seems like the most fun. I don't know.
Okay.
It seems like doing a Quentin Tarantino movie, you know, and then doing a Spielberg movie. Like, that sounds fun to me and more fun than playing tennis or whatever the sport that I would be.
Yeah, that's true.
The selected sport.
It just sounds risky. I guess all of them are pretty risky, except musicians sounds like you could have the most longevity probably in it.
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah,
we've had some musicians in here who have had some pretty wicked stories.
Yeah, that's
and being on the road all the time is crazy.
Yeah, that's
true too. Theo knows because of comedy. Like being on the road is awesome, but it's also a little.
Yes,
lonely.
I mean, I think it's lonely after a while.
Yeah,
you know, it feels a little bit sedate almost after a while. It feels like almost reruns.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just. Like, where am I? But also, a lot of times you don't do things when you're in the cities to reference them either. So you just get. Kind of just, you know, people all show
you don't even
up.
Know where you are.
They're there, but then they all disappear.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And then you're like, oh, well, what?
I would say like top comedian in the world. I wouldn't want to be that either.
Really?
Comedians seem
there's an open slot now for top comedian.
That's true. That's true.
Ralphie May died.
Yep. Aw. I liked him.
He was great.
Is that what you guys meant or no? Oh, you meant Louis C.K.
Yeah.
That's what I was referring to, too.
But who was on stage? Neil Brennan was on stage the other night here, and he's like, how many of you guys would pay to go see Louis C.K. right now? And the whole place went nuts.
Wow.
Wow.
So I think he'll probably be back. Like, I bet in 2 years he's going to be back.
Different beast in comedy, maybe? I feel like it's like, oh, he's a bad boy, and he tells these kind of jokes, so like, let's go along with it a little bit.
Like, he can spin it and turn it into
comedy gold.
Yeah, I mean, I think it obviously in his work, you could tell that he was probably pretty.
It doesn't make it acceptable by any means.
Well, I'm not saying it does, but I think you could tell that he, you know, he had some darkness in him, you know? I mean, you could tell like a lot of his stuff seems, you know, he's like he was maybe trying to get into some weird situations in order to be able to almost enhance maybe whatever his point of view was for some of his material or something, you know? I could see some of that.
I know Ricky had a situation with Fozzie Bear, correct?
What was my situation with Fozzie Bear?
Who's Fozzie Bear? Is that a
nickname?
She
was on the Muppets.
I played
Fozzie's girlfriend. Yeah.
No.
How cool is that?
Do you know how I got
that
the job?
That is my dream. Did you have to sleep with a Muppet?
Yeah, yeah. But no, I did that
I
by
heard
choice.
Gonzo has been touching a lot of people.
Yeah, yeah. He's the best one for obvious reasons.
No, she was on the Muppets TV show when they revamped it like last year or whatever.
But I was at Comic-Con on the dance floor and I accidentally bumped into Bill Prady, who is one of the creators of the Muppet Show. And I was like, oh, sorry. I like physically just bumped into him because I was like too much alcohol and dancing. And then he came over like 10 minutes later with some other Muppet guys and was like, do you want to play Fozzie's girlfriend?
Really?
Yeah. No. And I'm like, yes, I do. Yes. Thanks. Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
So I am a Muppet fanatic through and through. When you guys weren't filming or whatever, did you like pick up the puppets ever?
No. It's like a very sacred thing. They're not, you don't pick up the Muppets.
Interesting.
And when the Muppet goes on their hand, they only talk to you through the Muppet.
Really? Do they ever do like dirty voice, like say weird things as the Muppet? No.
Nope. It is. It's a sacred space. It's like, I do feel like it's like some of the best acting you can do because their faces are so sincere. And it's oddly easy to talk to a Muppet because they take it so seriously.
Yeah. And do you have to just duck down and put your hand up like that?
There's like, they have special floors built and there's people like standing under the floors and they have like different heights of shoes depending on how high the Muppet's going to go. And like some Muppets have two people in them and they wear cameras on their heads so they can see like through the eyes.
Oh, yeah.
They can look through their eyes and then there's just, it's a whole process.
Do you, did you get to do that? Did you get to like?
I just had to play myself. Right. Like I didn't, you know, I would be like the one human at a table of Muppets.
It was funny.
Oh,
just be
really?
Like,
it was great.
Oh my God,
it was so fun.
It was so fun.
Like she brought like Fozzie home to dinner with her parents and stuff.
So you were a human in Muppet world.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm. And did you guys get to make out or anything or kiss a little?
I think you did.
Like a teeny little.
Yeah, a teeny little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Fozzie's like, he's so innocent. Like, that's his character. So I don't think they wanted us to have, you know, Muppet sex or anything. Because you got to keep that essential core of
And
his
they don't
being.
Have genitalia, do they?
I don't know.
Theoretically?
I mean, the Muppet stops at the waist, right?
Yes,
physically, no. But theoretically, yes.
Like, yeah, but I'm not talking about theoretical Muppet genitalia.
Well, like, Piggy and Kermit have had babies. In like Muppet Baby or in like some flash forwards or something
really?
In the movies. Yeah. So
like
they had to do something.
Like Friglets?
Yeah, Friglets.
Yeah.
It's cute. It's cute. Anyway, back to Garfunkel and Oates. So are you guys going to do any shows anytime soon? Or
I don't know. We need to figure out what we're going to do. Mm. I miss it. I do miss being on stage a lot. I mean, if you don't do stand-up for a little bit, do you get antsy?
Yeah. Like I was just thinking about it today, like over the Christmas break, I won't do it, so... Kind of, I don't know if it bums me out a little. I'm sure it probably will, but then I'm also kind of nice to have my brain like not have to think about it for a couple of days.
Is there
like
a
reset.
Lot of
yeah?
Even with Garfunkel and Oates, is there a lot of pressure to continually like having to write songs or come up with funny stuff?
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't want to just do our old songs over and over. Right. Like maybe if we played a city where we'd never been, we could just play all the greatest hits. But yeah, I don't really want to play LA until we write something new.
Do you guys feel like when you are on stage and you don't get the response that you wanted, is that like devastating? I feel like
it's not the most fun, but it's not devastating.
I mean, I went up after Chappelle the other night. I was supposed to go up right before him, right?
Damn.
So I get here, it's late. and I was literally 1 minute late for my set. I was coming from a show in Pasadena, so get here, run in, and so Chappelle and like Neil Brennan are in the back room, and the guy who is going on after me took my spot because I wasn't there, so I have to go on after him. But now Chappelle's gonna go on, so now I have to wait till after him.
Oh no!
And it was fine. I mean, but it wasn't like kind of what I. It didn't start out as to what I wanted. I realized I had to like adjust my tempo. Yeah. So for a little bit, for about the first 5 minutes, I was like, man, this is going to be a bad set. This is not going the way that I want. But then I just had to like sit down and be a little more conversational.
Yeah.
And then I was able to kind of save it. And I only say that just because like for the first half of that, I think if I was younger and hadn't been doing comedy that long, then I would have just let it continue to do strong material the whole time and just let it just die.
Yeah.
But yeah, sometimes I think it can be the audience. Sometimes I think it can be you don't realize what's going on. You don't adjust. I mean, those are my thoughts. What do you think, Ricky?
I think with musical comedy, it's, you know, sometimes people, it's just not for them. So, you know, and there's kind of nothing we can do. We just can play our songs and we just, you know, get off faster if they're really not feeling it. But, you know, if it's not, you know, if it doesn't go it's well, it doesn't go well. Yeah. It's fine.
Is there anything that's off limits that you won't make a joke about?
Not that I know of. Not so far.
I think there's some stuff that you can't, like in some places you probably can't make a joke about. Probably. You know? But I think that people are trying to fight back against that and like make it so that it's okay to joke about stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Because otherwise you just kind of end up just really like on a surface area, I think, a lot of times.
For those who don't know Garfunkel, it's another period. It can get kind of dirty.
It can get really dirty. Yeah.
Really dirty.
Yes.
So that's why I ask. Like, is there anything?
Think there's, no. Well, Kate has more boundaries than I do. So she's definitely, you know, been less comfortable with certain things. And she's like, we're not doing that. But, you know, for the most part, it's, you know, we do whatever we want.
And who's like the bottom line when it comes to like, are you more like the idea and Kate is like the final say? Like, is there a thing?
I'm more of the lyrics person and she's more of the melody person. Okay. So, but it is, there's only two of us. So if one of us doesn't like it, we're not doing it. You know, like if you do a joke, you do it so many times. So right. Same thing with a song. So, you know, if one of us doesn't like it, we're not going to.
With Garfunkel Notes, what's been the highlight if I said, think of one memory. This has been the best memory that defines it all. What popped in your head? Because I remember actually seeing her at a party, and she was. Well, we went up and said hi. I didn't realize Robert Pattinson was like right next to us, and I'm like, "Girl, this girl made it! Like Robert Pattinson's there."
Because I was next to Robert Pattinson.
I was just like, "Oh my!"
I don't even think I spoke to him though.
Well, whatever. He was in the conversation.
That wasn't my highlight of the entire Garfunkel Notes experience, though.
What?
Maybe shopping for guitars with John Oates in Nashville. That was like that was a pretty cool moment. Kind of all of it. It's weird.
I mean, you did like The Tonight Show. You've had tons of performances.
I'm trying to think of when Kate and I, we laugh so hard that I'm trying to think of like when we just were like, because we have so many moments where we try to be cool and we're like, yeah, cool, thanks, nice to meet you. And then she and I are like, like the second they're gone.
Oh, with the celebrities or whatever.
Yeah. Like if we have an amazing show or, you know.
Yeah.
Was there like a band? Did you guys ever open up for any music, like any musicians?
We opened up for Motion City Soundtrack, and I think that's it. And John Oates, and I think that's it. So not really, because comedy and comedy music, they don't know we're comedy music, so people just think we're bad.
Right.
Was Johnny Oates in on the joke? Like, did he get it?
Because
Garfunkel and Oates is like the sidekicks.
Yeah.
Right.
He's the coolest dude. He's cool? He totally gets it. Yeah.
Wow. That's pretty cool. Mm.
And I saw you not long ago in the parking lot with Anthony Jeselnik, right? You said you guys are neighbors.
Yes. We live in the same building.
What is it like? Are there like ravens flying out of his windows and stuff at night? Like, what is it like? I mean, he's the dark artist.
Yes,
you know?
Yes. He is the nicest guy ever. He's one of my best friends. He's just like the nicest person. His like onstage persona and offstage persona to me are the furthest of any comedian I can think of.
Does he come out during the day and everything like that?
Come out? Like, is he like walking around during the day?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
You know, he's you know, eating lunch and doing whatever. Yeah. Yeah. He's around.
I can't imagine him eating something.
Really?
Yeah.
He totally
kind of
eats.
Attractive, actually.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, I think he's a handsome guy.
Oh, really? Oh, now the truth comes out.
No, I didn't say I didn't think he was handsome. I just said I didn't believe that he could go in the sunlight.
Oh, yeah.
No, I know.
No, he's a very supportive friend and just a good person. And I trust him implicitly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He really gives. I mean, I've had some good conversations with him. I feel like he gives really straightforward advice or thoughts.
Yes.
Very clear about what he wants.
Yes.
I feel like you've been around doing this, like you said, for 15 years, and I know your group of friends, or I know some of them, mm-hmm. and you seem like a very loyal person who has that same kind of core group. Is that, has that been difficult for you to navigate through Hollywood? You know,
I don't know if that's actually even true.
No? Okay. Okay.
I don't know. I feel like I am I feel like I'm sort of a bad friend because I work too much, and then I'll go like a year and a half between seeing someone. So I actually don't feel like I'm that person. I wish I was that person more.
Right.
But yeah, I feel like I touch with people very easily.
When you get a show and you have a guy who's a writer and written movies and TV shows and stuff, and she didn't call me to like even try out for it. But
you didn't get called?
No.
Hmm. So I just got a pop with Comedy Central. You didn't get called to direct it.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, wait. Am I supposed to be giving points?
Yeah.
I feel like you saying that is like negative 10.
Oh.
So Theo's in the lead. Theo's in the lead.
That goes my next season.
Yeah. Theo's in the lead with 0 points.
I'm
going to write your name on my best of list.
I saw on your Instagram, you took a snapshot of someone who texted you, do you know J.J. Abrams?
Yeah, it was my brother.
Oh, it was your brother. I thought that was the best.
Oh, my God. And he spelled Abrams wrong.
He did.
Yeah. I just
and you just wrote back, no.
No. Yeah. My brother is like, I just get random questions. He actually called. Well, after that text, he called me and he was like, okay, because, you know, I know you know a lot of people in Hollywood, like, do you think I could see Star Wars early? I'm like, no, I can't see. No, you're not dying. Like, you're not seeing. Like, are you?
Yeah, you're like, let me check.
Like, it's flattering that he thinks that I could possibly have that kind of.
You better
reach,
get on a transplant list, buddy.
Yeah,
I want to read you guys something. Go ahead, you talk.
Do you do you feel like it could be, you know, just because of you guys' schedules and career paths and stuff, that it could be the end of Garfunkel and Oates?
Oh.
I don't think so, because we...
And I don't mean that in a negative way, but...
No, because we still work together. We write songs for animated movies. Mm-hmm. We've been doing that pretty frequently, and now doing this musical, it seems like, you know, we could always go back at any point. It feels like that. Like, we might be wrong. Like, we might go back out there, and it's a nightmare.
Yeah.
But right now, it feels like
we'd
maintain a friendship.
Yeah, I was going to say, was it difficult in a friendship working so intimately with someone?
I think it's hard. I think any partnership's hard, any relationship. And we've had our, you know, tougher times, our easier times, but we've definitely, like, made it through everything, and we're going to be friends for life.
Was there ever any...
Kate's just a good person.
Was there ever any sensual interest between you guys?
Any sensual interest? Oh, between me and Kate?
Yeah.
No. I'm super straight. I realized that in college. In college, I was kind of hoping that maybe I was more experimental, and then I found out I wasn't.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm
going to read
guys.
You guys this email that my uncle sent me. Hi,
Matt's still testing college guys.
Oh, yeah. Until the wheels fall off. Hi, Matt. How
Literally,
are you?
Literally, he does a fake Uber around USA.
I trust you well. This is my uncle who, anyway, I'm working on a new project. I've attached a doc with some names. If you can directly connect me to anyone on this list, please do. Okay. Open the doc. LeBron James.
Oh.
Bono. Madonna. P. Diddy.
Oh, my God.
Celine Dion. Paul McCartney. Tom Hanks. Gloria Estefan.
What?
Denzel Washington. 2 pages of these people.
Oh, my God.
What? Oprah Winfrey. But just Oprah. It
that
just
list
says Oprah.
Is amazing. I'm going to give you 10 points.
Your uncle sent
and so now
that?
You guys yeah. are tied at zero.
And then what there's like people think? Whose names I don't even know. Like, it's so random. Like, why is Kristen Chenoweth's name on here? Like, and then this,
did he
right
just cut and paste a list
right to Beyonce, and then it goes to
Beyonce?
Chris, how Chenoweth. Old is your uncle?
He's in his 50s.
It is flattering that he thinks that you could get him in touch with Beyonce, but
yeah. His, I said to him, if I could get in touch with anybody on this list, I would not be where I am in life right now.
No, nor would you waste the favor on him.
Yeah, that's true.
You'd be like, Beyonce, be in my movie.
Like, I'm gonna call up. Oh,
yes.
Hey, oh, my uncle. She's got. Anyway, I thought that you'd get a kick out of that.
That's really funny.
Do people hit you up for that?
Not that often because I'm not on Facebook, so not terribly often. And when they do, it's never anything I could even remotely help them with. It's right. always like just they're like, I wrote a TV show. Can you get it to John Travolta? I'm like, I can't. No, I don't know him. I can't help you.
We were just talking about
him. We were just talking
Margaret
about
Cho told us she saw him eat an entire boysenberry pie one time.
Really?
In one sitting.
In front
pie.
Of her.
A whole pie?
Yeah, because it had boys in it.
Whoa.
But you can't use the joke twice.
I just did. She okay. laughed a little.
A little.
And Anthony still laughed.
And
twice.
I'm going to give you 10 points for that.
Thank you very much. Yeah. Have you, do you notice that it's tough, that have you had like any friends in Hollywood that as they became more popular, it was just tougher to communicate with them? And do you notice that maybe it's not even because of them, or what are your thoughts on some of that?
I've never had the kind of friend where it was total anonymity and the next day they were superstars. So it's only been friends like, you know, someone like Kumail, like now he's hosting SNL, but he's been slowly working his way up for, you know, 2 decades. So it's not, you know, he's not intimidating anymore. Right. He's not intimidating just because he's on SNL. I've never had that experience. Have you had that where someone's just a superstar overnight?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. I've had it not necessarily overnight, but certainly where dynamic changes for sure, and it's not as easy. I was just talking to Anthony that I find it very difficult sometimes to maintain relationships with celebrities.
Really?
Because of things you mentioned, like working all the time, and it's difficult.
Right.
But also, you know, I think celebrity changes people.
Really? Yeah.
Really do. Some, not all. You know, there are some who are core great down to the to their core no matter what. But some who just maybe don't have the footing or whatnot that it changes the dynamic.
Somebody told me they called it asshole for a year, that if someone gets super famous, they're allowed to be an asshole for 1 year.
Oh, that's good.
And then if they don't come back down to normal at the end of that year, they're out of your life.
But you're like, you're on like 13 years now? 15 since I've known you?
It depends on what you define as a celebrity, though.
Yeah. That's true.
It's like, is Jeselnik a celebrity?
I don't know. I think with comedians, like real comedians, it's like different, you know?
Right.
Because like Chappelle, I feel like he's
a celebrity.
He behaves more like a celebrity now too.
Yeah.
And I don't think his comedy's as entertaining as it used to be.
Right.
Like, but a guy like Burr, I think doesn't behave like a celebrity.
Yeah.
And I feel like his comedy.
Yeah, but they're on different levels.
Burr is so good.
Burr is fantastic. But they're on different, like Chappelle is worldwide celebrity.
I was with Bill Burr once at a bar, and a girl who had way too much to drink came over and was like, I just have to tell you, I don't think you're funny. And he was, and he didn't care at all. You know, he was like, okay, cool, man. And she's like, no. And she kept trying to explain why. And he was like, all right. He could not have cared less.
Yeah.
And
then worst nightmare.
And he's just like, all right, nice to meet you. Like, he didn't.
But I guess, I'll rephrase that. I don't think celebrity helps a comedian. I don't think it helps him. Like, I don't think.
You mean mentally?
I just don't think it caters to what makes a comedian good.
Interesting.
That's one thing that I noticed a little bit more about Chappelle. It almost seems like, yes, he's more of a worldwide celebrity. So he almost has to fill that now.
Yeah.
Like, even when he's just here kind of hanging out, like, he's almost more, seems more like a rapper a little bit.
Yeah.
It seems like a lot of pressure. Because he knows that everyone's like, oh my God, I'm seeing Dave Chappelle. Like, he knows that it's like a big experience for everybody.
But Burr, I think, gets the same thing. But it's different for some reason, you know? I mean, Burr just, you know, he never shows up. It's never a big deal. Like, maybe Chappelle feels like he has to. Like, he'll show up in like a fancy, you know, with a driver.
Really?
Burr shows up in a Prius, you know?
Right.
Like,
right.
So I don't know. I don't know if you can maintain that yourself. Or if just the market dictates it, because for Chappelle, it is like more of a worldwide thing, and you can't help but have to.
That's I wonder. I bet at the Comedy Store, Dave Chappelle would have to have a driver, because if he's like waiting for his car, he's going to get totally accosted. Everyone's going to want to talk to him, I think.
Yeah.
So probably at least for Comedy Store, if I were him, I'd have a driver.
I mean, we've talked about it. I think Jim Carrey is an interesting example, was one of the funniest people that turned into actor, celebrity, huge celebrity, beyond celebrity that he probably ever imagined.
Oh, yeah.
That maybe fucked up his life. It happens with a lot
of
people.
It sounds like he imagined it, though. If you see interviews with him,
that's true.
Like,
he probably did imagine it.
He saw this coming. He really saw it coming.
Really?
The whole $10 million check that he wrote to himself.
Yeah.
And
all right, points for that.
He saw it and like, oh, thank you. I get points.
Yeah, you're right.
I'll give you 10 points and now you're equal.
Oh, good.
He came here one night and it was pretty interesting.
Mm.
I got to judge a competition here with him one night. I was just happened to be on the judges panel, and then he showed up and was casting people for a new show.
Yeah.
And then he's like,
was it the Showtime one?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
He's like, so I'll judge. And so there's just three judges. So then he's like asking me everything about how the contest works. So like, you know, for 15 minutes, I'm just explaining to him.
That's cool.
And for 2 hours, we sit there and are just judges.
Who'd he cast you as on the show?
He didn't put me in.
Damn.
They didn't really have a role for
really
me, though.
I haven't really seen that show.
But then afterwards, he hung out in the parking lot for probably about 20 minutes and answered all the door guys' questions, because he used to be a door guy here.
Really?
So that's pretty interesting.
That's crazy.
Wow.
Well, I want to go back. So you were born in Pennsylvania, right?
Yes.
Me too.
Where?
Doesn't mean anything.
From Langhorne, Pennsylvania.
Where Bucks are you County. From, Theo?
I'm from Louisiana.
Oh, okay.
This is Louisiana Purchase. You guys might have heard of that.
Overpaid.
Have, responsible for 27 states.
not true.
Yeah.
27?
Yep.
Really?
Yep.
Yeah, that was a bad deal. that purchase was a great deal, depending on which side you're on.
10 cents an acre.
Damn.
Wow. How do you pronounce the name of the town you were born in?
Coutersport.
Oh, mm-hmm. I thought it was Coutersport.
Coutersport? No, Coutersport.
Coutersport, yeah. Pennsylvania.
Yep. Yeah, my grandparents lived there, and so I used to go back, but white. Now I don't. Yeah, they're white. My whole town was white.
I can't imagine Coutersport, Pennsylvania not being anything but white.
Really? No. Yeah, PA is kind of a white, except for in like Philadelphia.
Yeah.
And maybe Harrisburg, and maybe by some of the King of Prussia. Is it white around there too?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
No. And I grew up in upstate New York, which is also the same kind of demographic.
Right.
Yeah.
Like small town, lots of guns and deer and all that stuff. Did you have a lot of hunting where you're from?
Yeah.
Did you get school off for the first day of hunting season?
No.
Oh.
That's cool.
I don't think we got that either.
We only had school off when our superintendent died.
Really?
Yeah.
Our vice principal used to sleep in the trunk of his car.
Really?
Yeah.
Stop it.
So Mr. Coleman.
That was cool.
Oh.
Stop it.
He did.
Poor guy.
In his trunk?
Yeah.
Did you make fun of him?
No, and he would like kind of tie the thing down and hook it on the thing.
Oh, my God. He's just like waiting to be pranked. Like, just waiting. Yeah. If he got locked in there, it would be his fault.
I didn't even think about that. Yeah, he would have died. Yeah, nobody did that to him.
That's
pretty friendly.
So, some questions from our fans.
Oh, okay.
Taco Bill 69 wants to know about...
I know, I wanted that name, but it was taken.
It's a shame. Yeah. The Big Bang Theory.
Yes.
And your experience on that.
I loved it. I did. I loved it. Doing a sitcom is really fun. Because I was on the second season, I think. And it was before the show was a huge hit. Like, it was a popular show, but it wasn't a phenomenon.
The juggernaut that it is.
And then I was on 10 years later as the same character.
Right.
And everyone was exactly the same.
How did that, and he specifically, James E.E. Mm-hmm. E. Gilbert, everybody loves Big Bang Theory.
Mm-hmm.
How did reprising the role on the Big Bang Theory happen?
So Bill Prady, the one who cast me in The Muppets, they were in the writer's room trying to find a way to have Sheldon propose to Mayim Bialik's character. Mm-hmm. And so they needed like a foil. And so they thought of my character because my character was the first person that was in love with Jim. And so they thought, oh, let's bring her back. And he texted me. He said, are you around next week? We're trying to break this story, but we don't want to work on it if you're not around. I'm like, I'm here. And so at the end of the day, he texted me. We broke the story. So come and do the part.
Sounds That's good cool. to know this Bill Prady guy.
I know, right?
Oh, man. I'm going to go knock into him when I'm dancing on the floor.
But it was really fun. And the cast, like, there was no divas. They were exactly the same. They were all super friendly. They're just nice people. I don't know. I liked it a lot.
That's cool.
That's awesome.
Someone wants to know about your Throwback Thursday pictures.
Oh, yeah.
How do you have such a wealth of Throwback Thursdays?
It's endless. Like, we haven't even... It's the tip of the iceberg.
Really?
So many pictures.
I've tried before, and I'm out within days.
I was the most photographed child. My mother sent me a box, like, right kind of when Instagram was starting. She sent me this box of all these pictures of me from when I was a kid, and I called, and I'm like, you don't want these? And she's like, oh, we have pictures. And so it was kind of strange where she gave me all the photos of myself without unsolicited.
So do you, but, you have a box that you just go through of, like...
Well, I had it turned into, like, DVDs or whatever.
Yeah.
So I've just got them all on my desktop, and it's endless. I was a very photographed child.
Wow.
Yeah.
And was there a reason why? Was your mother, why she did that?
I don't know. I think they were just cleaning. They were moving to Florida.
I know why she took them all.
Oh, I don't know. I was a little show off. I don't know if you guys were too. I was just like a little ham. And I was,
Theo, were you?
I don't think so.
You don't strike me as. I mean, there's video of me moving into our new house when I was like 7 singing The Greatest Love of All by the fireplace.
Wow.
And then my parents still didn't know.
Oh, man.
His parents still don't know that he's gay, even though
they do. They do.
Been out for 15 years. They don't know. All right, so, let's get on. What do we have here, Matt?
I just want to ask one more question.
Okay.
What is Under the Silver Lake? That's the movie that I saw you did?
Yeah, it's a new movie. I don't know when it's coming out, but David Robert Mitchell, the guy who did It Follows, it's his next movie.
Ooh.
Yeah.
With Andrew Garfield?
Yep. I have a couple scenes with Andrew Garfield, which is cool.
He's pretty cool.
Yeah, he's awesome.
He's kind of charming.
He's such a good actor.
That's cool.
And so that we don't know when that's going to going to be, but another period returns on 1/23.
Yes.
I'm what are you going to do to celebrate?
I don't know. We'll probably have a viewing party. We just get as many of the cast as possible and just, you know, tweet about it or whatever.
Any special guest stars this season that we can...
Not too many. Our cast is so good that we're like, let's write for them.
Have you tried to get guest stars that have said no?
Yes, but you know, no one ever says no. They say, I'm not available on that date.
I'm out of it.
Yeah, like no one wants to cut themselves off from that possibility entirely. So, you know, we've never actually had a straight no. They're like, oh, you can't.
Because you've had amazing people on the show. I mean, Ben Stiller, Jemaine Clement, Patton Oswalt, Paul Scheer, Michael Ian Black, Christine Hendricks. You've got a great, great cast.
It's great. We are so lucky. We like honestly can't believe it. We don't know how. I don't know how we got so lucky, but it's you know, we're always like, holy shit.
So you cool. did it.
Yeah, Natasha and I, sometimes we look around and we're like, okay, we're in princess dresses, first of all, at a castle. And we have 100 employees. And the funniest people we know are in princess dresses and acting in scenes that we wrote. Like, it's pretty surreal.
Well, that's pretty cool.
That's amazing. Yeah. Congratulations.
All right, well, so we're at 10-10.
Okay.
We can do, I've got my question.
Oh, yeah. I was supposed to do more points.
That's all right.
That's okay. It's perfect.
Forget. Okay.
Because we have to do a final round.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so for the final round, Matt and I usually compete, and you are the judge.
Okay.
So we have to come up with a good final round. A
competition that fits, something that's been discussed in this conversation.
Yeah, something that fits you. That kind of works.
Just a competition of the wits? Like
I was thinking of Broadway songs, but I feel like we've done that before, and I feel like I would kill you.
Oh, you guys just go back and forth naming something.
Yeah. Or something along those lines.
Anthony,
what do
you think? Medieval. I'm trying to think of something with her show.
Oh, yeah, something medieval.
Medieval?
Like
well, just because of like another, you know, period.
An Englishman.
Oh.
Yeah.
You could name time periods.
Well, 1980s.
But it would be like, you know, like the Renaissance, like time periods that have a name.
Oh.
But that's not great. There's only like five.
What if we had to tell our best period story?
Yes.
Do you
I want to hear that.
Period story?
I do have one.
Yes. That's good. That's better.
There we go. When did you get your period, Matt? Anthony laughed, though, dude. Anthony's smart, too.
I'm on day 3.
Okay.
In case you guys are wondering.
There you go.
Thanks.
Get over it.
I think we're done.
Yeah.
Show's done. Okay, go ahead, Theo. Tell me your best period story.
Do you have one?
Yeah.
Okay, so one time I was in...
Oh, gosh.
I think Minneapolis.
Where all best period stories take place.
Yeah, dude, I was in the Great White North. And there was some young lady who I met who was, you know, experiencing menstruation. And so she slept over, made love maybe, I don't even remember probably, or just slept aggressively. And then she had some menstruation in the bed, right?
Mm-hmm.
So she left. I didn't know, right? Fine, normal, that's nature. So the issue, though, was the cleaning lady was going to come to the room. And so I felt like, well, I have to say something to the cleaning lady because I don't know what protocol is in this area because I don't have menstruation regularly. I go to the hall, and the cleaning lady does not speak English. I think Laotian, maybe possibly like a middle-aged Viet, you know, Vietnamese.
You're really setting the stage. All right.
So... I have to tell her kind of what happened, you know? So I was just like, I just went like that. But like,
that was your thing for period?
Yes. Yeah, like, yeah,
wow.
But like with my hands, like kind of like by my cross, like, I just pointed at my room.
Oh my God. If a man walked up to me, pointed at his crotch, and went, I would think that. Not that. I would not think period.
And give her a tip to
nice.
Just
thank
to
you.
Help.
Oh my gosh. So. That's pretty good.
Wow, okay.
That's a really good story.
Thank you.
I remember when I was like 13 or 14, I was in chorus in school. If you didn't know that, if you didn't look at me and just see
were
chorus
you even
boy
any good? I thought you weren't even a good singer though.
No, I was a good singer back then. It changed.
But does every gay young man think they're a good singer though?
I don't know. It's a good question.
We can ask them.
Let's do a survey on the street.
That's a good question, though.
I don't know, but I didn't even know I was gay. I mean, I knew, but I wasn't out or anything.
Right.
One thing didn't necessarily have to do with the other.
Well.
I thought I enjoyed chorus. And
yeah, there you go. That's number one. Exhibit A, Your Honor. This young fella enjoys chorus.
Okay. Go on. Anyway, no, just, yeah, go this on. Was we were doing. It was like a performance where the parents come and everything. I think it was a holiday performance, and this girl behind me, who was kind of an outcast, like loner, like weird type girl,
like a rebel.
No, not a rebel. Like a hey, like that type. She just tapped me on the shoulder and like during the performance, and I just remember she had braces and there was like I saw that like spittle in the braces, and it was kind of like frothing at the mouth, and she had this like wide-eyed look. And she's like, "What do I do?" And she was pointing down, and there was like blood on her like vaginal area.
Oh my god!
And I just remember thinking in my head like, "Why is she asking me this?" Like. What the fuck would I know to do? And then I also kind of remember thinking, like, does she think I'm gay? Like, what does this have to do with it? But so she was like, and I was like, I don't know.
You probably just seemed nice.
Yeah, I was like, I don't know. And she was like, okay. And then I'd say about 3 minutes later, she passed out. Fell backwards against the curtains on the thing.
So maybe she wasn't even her period. Maybe she like
That's not normal.
Had like a vein in her thigh or something. She was like,
yeah, bro. What is she?
She was like bleeding out,
dying. You idiot.
Like, ew, gross.
That's
like
a period story.
Wait a second.
Well, she cut an artery.
Yeah.
On one of those horns or something. You guys had.
She never came back to chorus. No. I think it was that. I mean, yeah, quite
sure, guy.
Obviously that, right?
Sure, Dexter.
I love both of those stories, but I think because of the, that thing, I think Theo gets
it. The ghost.
The listeners at home can't see that motion, but it was gross in a good way.
Thank you.
You want to do it for us one more time?
That's what it was, dude.
It's like you were motorboating the poor.
Well, look, that's the international sign language for some sort of bodily discharge.
Blood in my bed. Yeah.
There you go. Well, all right. Well, congratulations, Theo.
And RIP to your former chorus. Wherever she is.
She has
Stephanie.
Since hit me up on Facebook, so I know she is alive.
Hard to hit you up from the great beyond, huh?
Thank you very much, Ricky, for coming
Thanks
in. Everybody, check
January
out the
January 29th? 23rd.
Everybody, check out the new season of Another Period on Comedy Central on the
23rd.
Congratulations. Thank you.
Everybody, be on the lookout for a Garfunkel & Oates musical, hopefully. Knock on wood. We'll see. Fingers crossed.
Yes.
Be on the lookout for it. And I can't thank you enough.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thank you so much, Ricky. We appreciate it.
And everybody, we'll see you next week.
Thanks for having me.